Over the weekend, the Men Talk, a space for men created to openly speak about issues affecting women in the communities, met and they spoke about the price of bride price. So now they join me to talk about or unpack the topic. And I will kindly ask, give you the mic to introduce yourself and tell us more about yourself. So I'll start with you.
Thank you so much. Good morning to all the listeners. I'm called Data Emmanuel Gordon. I work for Men for Women.
Yes, thank you, Data.
Good morning, our listeners. I'm Julius Buseri. I work for AMREF.
I'm Eunice Pichiko. I work with Men for Women.
All right. Thank you so much and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And just before we continue, I want to tell you that if you're out there, you need to listen keenly. And if you do have a question later on, you will be able to call in and ask your questions on this particular talking point, which is about the price of bride price. Now, let's just start with the topic. Kindly let us in on the conversations you had over the weekend about the price of bride price. I'll start with you, Data Gordon.
Thank you so much. Last weekend we had two different conversations. One was on Zoom and the other one was on Twitter Space. Mm. And those two different conversations, we unpacked the understanding of bride price, the understanding of dowry,
yeah,
because in most cases these people use it without knowing. We also unpacked on aspects of when the word bride price comes in, what do people think? What comes into their mind,
mm-hmm,
in both the conversations, and we looked at what are the workable recommendations that we can be able to do,
right,
as young people and especially as men,
mm,
because the fact was that men are the ones who sit on the table to discuss issues of bride price,
yeah,
and issues of dowry and also all those sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a very interesting conversation, and based on that, and we are grateful to you and to Radio Miraya for having made it more open, that let's come and discuss it, and for any other person who was not part and parcel of the virtual conversations,
uh-huh,
to be part of.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. And Julius, would you like to jump in on some of the conversations you had?
Yeah. Quite interesting. Maybe I'll just to add on what Data said.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that that came out strong for us is that for the participants, almost everybody had a concern about the trend that things are taking, but it also came out clear that whereas many people are concerned, it seems there are very few people who are taking action.
Right.
So I think if we have more of these conversations,
mm-hmm,
we should find an entry point for action to improve the trend of what we see in,
mm-hmm,
South Sudan.
All right. Eunice, the initiative is Men for Women, yet we have some women. So tell us more about it.
The initiative is Men for Women, but it doesn't mean that women have to be out of the space.
Right.
Women have to be there to share also and give their voices, because we know what we go through as women. How are we going to help the men understand better what we go through? And so they can become allies, not just protectors or people that protect women,
mm-hmm,
but they're allying with women in every situation.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Eunice, for that. And Julius, you spoke about the trends that, I'll call it this thing, because it's serious, that the bride price is taking. So what are some of the current challenges that you have noticed?
I think to begin with, for most of the traditions that we have in South Sudan, like it is in the rest of Africa, most of this is not written. So because it's not written, it's open to contextual interpretation by whoever is now the custodian of that tradition at that moment. So we realize that there are many things that have come into the space of bride price, a tradition that when you think back, probably the initiators of that tradition had a good idea about it. They wanted to bring union between two families, to cause celebration. But now there are many things that are coming in that were not. And even when you look at most of those traditional marriage settings, when they are conducting the bride price payment, some of the items are named, but the names are not traditional. They're like school fees.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that came out very clear, and we're asking ourselves, when did schools come to Africa?
Wait, is school fees an actual item on the bride price?
Yes.
It may not be on the plan on the on on list A, but it's in the package.
Right.
And it quite we kind of agreed that it quite takes a big chunk. So that's just one of them. Then number two is the commercialization of the items that were originally in kind. Partly the argument is that we no longer have space to keep the livestock.
Yeah,
because we are on a 20x20 plot.
Uh huh.
But again, who determines that?
Or maybe these other things are ancient, because where I come from, they ask for spears and hoes. But they have to translate them, like you said, the monetization and making everything commercial.
Yes. So the argument was that okay, if we are opening it up for interpretation, then let's put it on the table and interpret it to suit the current context and not make things worse. Because if it's monetized, should it be one person to determine? Who determines that the spear is 5,000 SSP,
right?
$100? Should we go with the original price of the spear? Or can I bring actually a spear and I say, for me, this is what I know.
They'll tell you they have nowhere to keep the spear.
Exactly. So it's a topic that is fluid.
Right.
And I think it's high time people sat down and asked themselves, which direction do we take not to affect the nation?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Basiri. Yes, Data.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit is that you brought in the key example that you put out in your culture. Anciently, they talked about spears. And the one key thing that came out was that the aspect of spears were used for hunting. And another example came in that of recent, even now in South Sudan, there are parts in South Sudan where maybe your in-laws will demand for a gun and some bullets.
Really?
Yes. And that is to appease them and for them to get, okay, I think our in-law is okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and they use it all to defend themselves and also to hunt. Those are certain things that have come in. And one thing that has come in very clearly is that the trend changes with the dollar rate.
And I have noticed that.
Yes.
Now, a letter is being written by how much? How much was it then?
By then you don't even put money into the letter.
Yeah, it would be your
because
choice.
Because in some
to do
cultures,
so.
Is that the money you put for booking is even dowry.
Right.
When you go to now negotiate the dowry, they will say, okay, now you're supposed to pay this, but you had already paid this, which is already part of the dowry. But now it is totally different. I have friends who are paying 550,000 SSP, others are paying 750,000 SSP.
For booking.
No, that
for
is letter.
For just the letter.
Just
yes.
The letter.
Wow.
And you pay that amount of money, and it is not part of the dowry.
Mm.
Like when you're going for the discussion. And a few years back, like about 5-6 years back, it's about £10,500 and all those stuff. Now, you see that everything has moved.
So it has increased by tenfold.
I tell
moving
you.
Moving with the economy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a big issue. And as Julia said, documentation isn't there. But also we need to appreciate certain cultures. For example, one key example came in the Twitter space that in the Shulu culture, it is determined by the king. And if the king says, if you're to pay a cow, then you have to pay the cow at a rate of maybe 40,000 SSP, you pay that. If they like if I'm to marry from a Shulu family and they charge me more, I have every right to report this family to the king.
Right.
And then they are summoned and they have to refund the balance. So like there is that form
regulation
yeah. within the kingdom.
Right.
And something that we look forward into seeing more.
Indeed. Yes, Eunice. I couldn't resist but see you nod in acceptance of all the points that have been raised.
Yes. Why I was nodding to this is because, first of all, this bride price has become an issue. And as my colleagues have mentioned before, there is different lists when they send you the bill. List A, List B, and List C. Some things, sincerely speaking, are becoming outrageous and unrealistic because people are now the ones determining it, because we don't have this documented, as said before. Someone will say school fees, then there is the mother's breast milk, and they will say it's there, it's happening. And the mother's breast milk is, they can put determining on their prices. The one that I have seen, it's 1 point something. So how much is 1 million in in SSP and in dollars, that's a lot of money. That is only for that. They need money for the girls. First of all, when you're going, Fatakasma, there is that thing, Fatakasma, Fatabab,
right.
Tarabiza, you have to pay. That's,
you keep spending.
You keep spending. By the time they're giving you the bill, you're actually really exhausted. You don't have money. Yes, we get it. Sometimes it's a family thing. People contribute. But is it possible that everyone has the amount to contribute? Sometimes they do not have these resources. And at the end, you're frustrating this man. You're frustrating his relationship with the lady.
Yeah.
He's going to take out his anger on her.
Yeah.
The relationship will die. Intimate partner violence will start. Yeah. GBV and all those things will start.
It's no wonder we hear things that I paid bride price over you.
Yes.
Who are you to speak back to me? So clearly you're selling your girl's rights in disguise of marriage. But again, there was a conversation that was making a wash on social media where a sister came out and spoke to her brother how do you negotiate a very little bride price? I mean, how will I look? How will my peers look at me? So some girls probably think it's prestigious when a lump sum is asked over them. Did you speak about such things too?
It came in clearly, and it came in both from the ladies and also from the gentlemen in that conversation. And the key is that others are the ones fronting it, saying you have to pay. This is my value. Yes, while others are sat down by society. So for those sat down by society, we left them. But for those who are the ones are doing it, you find that a few of the reasons that came out is that just in case this man will later on leave me, at least my people will have benefited.
Wait, so okay, there's a thought that I cannot help. So do they do this for love or for the fact that they want to do life with this person and spend probably, you know, the whole life with this person? Or it's about me having to front for my family or them fending through this marriage?
I think to some extent there is competition among you ladies.
Me exclusive. Yeah.
If Julia's paid for Pichiko maybe 100 cows, and you're good friends with Pichiko, you'll want me to pay more.
Okay.
There is that, and right. And that is even translated in the weddings we are having currently in Juba. There is that competition aspect that comes in. So that to me, it's a question of, is it really love? Oh, it's just let's stay.
Yeah.
If anything happens, I can leave anytime.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Musiri.
Yeah, I want to say, Irene, that when you look at bride price in the context of a patriarchal society like ours, that's where it gets messy.
Yeah.
Because what would make a young girl compare herself with a colleague in terms of livestock? It's because the society has praised the livestock. It's because the society has put value in bride price. So what would happen is that we need to engage more and change the narrative. Because for me, I would want, if God gives me daughters, I would want them to be married. And I look at the kind of in-law they have brought for me. I don't care what they have brought. And I know many people would frown at this, but I don't care. Because I mean, what is the value in me having all those things in my house and my daughter is not happy?
Right.
So then it's what is the value judgment? What do we value as a society is what will shape the narrative. Yeah.
Right, Eunice?
I think she has said all of it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, so so the platform was there and you spoke about these issues. Were there solutions that were derived in these discussions? If yes, how will you be using the solutions to get this desired change?
As it comes for the solution, I just want to bring in the aspect of what people perceived bride price.
I would come to that because we're coming to the understanding, but I just want to know, I mean, we just want to bring the public to speed on the discussions that you had over the weekend.
Yes, I think one of the major solutions and something that we all agreed on is that, first of all, because men are the ones that sit in the spaces, they're the ones who discuss the bride price, they know the effects. It might not affect them directly that time, but indirectly it will affect them. But how do they come to that table and speak about it and say, okay, my sister is going, she wants to be married, but how can we reduce this to also favor the man? Because where she's going, maybe they're going to rent.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to, he's just starting out life.
Right.
She doesn't, okay, she's also maybe doing something, but how do we make sure that our sister is in a good place?
Mm.
Yeah, and the second thing we decided we would try to do is maybe involve the community leaders, councils, leaders, chiefs, even the parliament, if possible, for this to be regulated in every type of culture, because we want to estimate, okay, in your culture you want 15 goats, or the other ones want 20 cows, but how do we find the balance between the two so that the other culture is not overpricing and the other one is lower pricing, and people be like, oh, these girls from this tribe are cheap, let's go there, and they leave this.
I mean, after all, marriage is for all, because now with a narrative, it's you're supposed to have acquired a kind of status for you to get married, and most of the conflicts that we are seeing, this is a cattle race that we are witnessing, most of them are saying they are doing this so that they can collect something to go and marry. So probably it's done more harm than good, and something really needs to be done. Now back to bride price. What is your understanding of bride price? I'll start with you, Data.
Okay, I'll pick the other conversation that I moderated, and Julius will pick the other one.
Okay.
And just as I bring that forward, is that from her point and from your point, is that people shouldn't be driven to marry from a specific tribe because of bride price.
Yeah.
It should be because of love.
Right.
Love will take you there, and bride price will not chase you away. Those are key things. Now, on the Twitter space that we had the interaction on, people's understanding of bride price was more of a fee that is to be paid, an appreciation, and it's all coming in from the man's side. Another one talked about it's a stress, because it's huge, and someone, especially to the man, and you find that this man, the stress will be transferred to the woman. Intimate partner violence comes in handy. Poverty, because you've given all.
Yeah, you're broke. I mean, how do you even hand over your daughter to a broke man at that point?
That is a thing. It demands a lot of resources that needs to be paid. Someone talked about risking life to end up in prison.
Yeah.
Because if I want Pichiko, and they will ask a lot of money, and I'm not
maybe
able to pay.
Maybe tempted to rob a bank.
Right? Yeah, maybe a central bank, I don't know. Someone talked about happiness. And this one, he put it clearly that in the traditional society, marriage brings in happiness, people dance, and there is eating that comes in handy, and there is that unity networking.
Mm.
And then another one talked about varying bride price based on communities. Token of appreciation. One key person talked about number of cows given to the girl's parents. Another one talked about responsibility. And the final one said, it's more of a price tag that is put on you. Then I come and say, okay, iron is worth this.
Mm.
Then I have to pay. So being a price tag definitely attracts that aspect that I am buying you. Yeah, so
in this context, I think I share the same sentiment with that with that person, because I think it's a price tag now. In our context these days. Yes, Basiri.
Just to bring our listeners within the context of what we're discussing, bride price in itself is a form of transaction. It sits together with dowry. Bride price would be that transaction where people from the groom's side, either the groom, I don't know, him and his team pay to the girl, to the bride's side. It could be money, it could be gifts, could be material, it could be It could be anything. It could be livestock, like in our context. And then, of course, dowry would be the other way around, that the bride's family is happy and then they give something back. And so we saw that, and I think that's almost in all societies.
But we don't have dowry here, do we?
We do, and I'll give you from my tradition.
Okay.
When a man pays the bride price to the satisfaction
Of the family,
they'll throw you a party.
Okay.
But as part of that party, they give you a bull as the bride, the groom's side, and they tell you, here is our token of thanks.
Right.
So that in itself is dowry. But
okay.
I mean, it comes at the backdrop of the bride price.
Yes.
So it doesn't take prominence
like it is
in India.
Mm.
So the other thing I wanted to add, Irene, is on the conversation you had with Eunice.
Uh-huh.
About what we want to do. And this is boldly, this is the direction we are taking. We've realized this is not documented. People are using their own judgment about things. So we want to find resources, both human and financial, to conduct a survey, to talk to different people, to understand this issue. Where did these things come from?
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of these items? What is happening right now? What is the effect on the individuals? And then when we have that, then we'll take on very strong advocacy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, if you're out there and you have any questions, the time is not now, but very shortly. So the numbers are 092-190-2950 and 092-190-209. We are speaking about the price of bride price, our understanding about bride price. Now, calls to harmonize a bride price are gaining momentum, just like Eunice mentioned, with many saying that the marriage has turned into a business. Do you share the same sentiments? And if yes, how can this be handled? Basiri, you just mentioned something of you taking a bold step in that direction.
Harmonization is going to be quite difficult. Reason, the rationale behind certain items befits the ethnic groups. And so wouldn't want to take that away from them, because cultural diversity is important. But what would be important is to regulate. And regulation is also going to be difficult. So for me, what I would go for, if I was in, I was to make the final decision, is bride price should be paid over a period of time.
Okay.
So someone brings what they have, then they go and live with their spouse, and then over a period of time, they can pay as much as they can along the way. Because what happens is that it's the pressure to clear that big chunk of money
at once
when somebody needs to go and start a family.
Right.
So that's, for me, that's the issue. And so on the backdrop of, amidst all this harmonization and everything, I think the lowest hanging fruit would be to allow that people are allowed to marry with what they have and they move on. Why am I saying this? It's what has been happening before.
Yeah.
I've analyzed so many committees, and I want to say this. I said it on Saturday and I'm going to say it here. I've analyzed so many committees handling bride price of young people. And most of the people on the committee have not paid their own bride price. They are paying in small chunks, and they know it works, but they are pushing somebody to pay it in one go.
So won't you be indebted for life to that family?
You see, the thing is, it's not like soap you borrowed from the shop. It's you'll pay when you can.
Okay.
Let me just.
So
tell you.
I thought you were saying like monthly. It should be like rent.
No.
Okay.
I'll just give you an example. I've just witnessed the payment of bride price of a group of young men, and they're paying bride price on behalf of their father for their mother.
We've seen that too.
So it helps, because then the father will be focused.
But then why bring the burden to the next generation if they also have, they will also have to settle their own bride price?
You see, what would happen is that by the time that burden is put to that generation and not the next one, is that there will be an assessment that these young lads can do better than what their father could. So the father focused on taking them to school. They did better, they earned better, and they can clear it. And most certainly it's not so big. That together as four or five or six of them, they can easily clear it in one go. The issue is the pressure.
And key to add into that is that the fact that culturally those years we know, if you're going to marry from this particular tribe, you already have an understanding of what they will need, what is the process involved, and like how do you go about it. But now that everything has changed, so I think it's key also for us to be able to document this. So once it's documented, it's important. Now, talking about the partial payments, is that even now, people will say, why do you want to pay all? You don't want to come and visit us.
Oh yeah, some tribes would do that.
Yes. And that means the more you continue, if there's still some amount of money or some bright price you're yet to pay, it is still continues that, okay, there's that conversation that goes on, there's that movement that goes on, and there's that respect that still continues to be there. Yeah. So it's important that, as you said, don't put the pressure. Let the person have the pressure by himself that I really need to pay this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then for now I have this, they accept, then you go forward. I'll be able to commit maybe after a year or two. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yes, Unit. I mean, Eunice.
Yeah. So what I wanted to just add on is something little on the bride price issue. Mm. As we have all shared our sentiments and also other people have shared on the different discussions we have been having on bride price, I think it's actually a major issue. It's affecting people and a lot in different ways. Because bride price is not only financial or physical that is affecting you. It will affect you actually emotionally, financially, psychologically, mentally. It's not something easy. But sometimes people do not see this. They don't see that they are causing this to you, this stress and this... issues to you. They think it is your duty
I think their love for money clouds their judgment at that point.
It does cloud their judgment, and there are people who are willing actually to pay that money and they have it, but not everyone has it. So when you put that too much pressure on someone, it actually affects someone, and someone can also have a different perspective or narrative about your culture, about your traditions, and they'll be like, now if you go to this, don't marry from this tribe, they will do this what they did to you last month. Did you see what they did to me? Let's not go there. Like one of our participants shared of how they were locked in a room
for three days.
You have, there was some amount of money that you had to pay. If you do not pay,
so if you didn't have that money on you,
you'll stay there,
you stay in the room.
You call the police. Well, call us and be live here on the Mirai Breakfast. Let's take our first caller. Reggie Mirai, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Is this John?
Yes, this is John from Rumbek.
Yes, John from Rumbek. It's been a while. Tell me.
It has been a while, thank you. I have been keenly listening to this topic. You know, community members, the politicians, do recognize that this is a problem in mostly in our societies. But there is one thing. It seems that these problems that these problems has failed the politicians, you know, and they are incapable of resolving this issue of bad price, whatever you call it.
Why do you say that?
You know, whether you call it a bride price, whether you call it a dowry, it has failed, you know, these people, you know, to come up with what you done. Yes, it's a problem in our society. But what should be done in this regard, you know, to avoid other issues that we think it has put the lives of women in danger, as our, my sister was talking about. Look, we do admit that, you know, we are different communities. We have the farmers and we have the pastoralists who perceive that marriage is unique to what they think is important to them. You might have heard, you know, from Dinka tribe that when they, you know, that their marriage are more expensive than, you know, 100, 200 and so. But let me tell you, there are those also who got married even when you have 10 cows. Come with your 10 cows, you get a wife here. So it is not an issue of fixing the number that it should be 10. People will never agree on this, and this is where people are incapable of resolving it. Now, my opinion in this is that the way I should look at it, this is my opinion, in respect to what other people think. It should be that a marriageable age should be the more thing that people concentrate on, a marriageable age, 18 years and above. Anybody married below that should not be allowed by law. Then whoever is willing to pay 100, that will be up to him. Whoever is willing to pay 10, that are based on the laughs of these two parties, from the girl and from the man.
Right.
You know what I would do. But are people coming together to say that we have all agreed that 20 cows or 30 cows will be a definite number for a marriageable age girl in the old part of South Sudan? I don't think whether, you know, this thing will be applicable, in my opinion. We just mark it, but the age to be restricted by law from 18 years and up, if that is a marriageable age, that is what should be agreed on. Below that, it should not be completely.
All right.
Thank you.
John, thank you so much. And of course, the key words are there has to be consent between the two parties. And also, we need to ensure that the people involved are not underage and they are sound at making the decision to what? To settle in marriage. It shouldn't be dictated on the girl. Mm. All right. What is the time now? It's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. If you have any question or if you have a comment, 092-190-2950 and 092-190-2079. Now, back to this. Of course, this has, like you earlier said, GBV cases are rising due to probably families thinking that when they exchange this girl with, I want to say exchange, for lack of a better word, because these children are denied their right to continue with their schools with the aim of getting bride price. So, plus also putting into context the number of girls who are not in school, or the number of girls dropping out of school, plus also the percentage of the population not being learned in South Sudan. Where do you think this is taking us, Busiri?
I think it's taking us in a very wrong direction, and I think we are moving so fast in the wrong direction, very fast, and for me that's my worry. Because if you look at the trends of GBV, they're so bad. You look at the other indicators for education, they're so bad. Indicators for health, they're so bad. And so it worries me, and I think that's the reason why we're very grateful that we're having these discussions. Because it's much more than actually just that. It's actually shaking the very existence of society.
Yeah.
Because if we thought as Africans that marriage would be best when two people have children within a recognized union, It's now taking the opposite.
Mm.
Young men are saying, well, if I can't pay that, I'll do plan B.
Yeah.
We'll have the child and let's sort this later.
Yeah.
But eventually the bride price will be paid. Mm. But why didn't you allow the guy to marry officially and
right.
then the children now?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. Of course, when Pichiko talked about the mental health issues, community conflicts. A girl follows the man that she loves and the brothers follow that man to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he's
or
not the guy.
Kill the sister because
he's not the guy
yeah.
with the money.
Right.
So those are things that are even costing our economy because we are losing resources. So for me, it's a big worry. Of course, you talked about the GBV, you talked about people focusing on marrying young brides, all those sorts of things. But one thing that people are not thinking about, and it's now a new phenomenon, is that there are young men. Eunice talked about those who can pay.
Yeah.
They can pay, but the process through which they are taken to make the payment, including their, and there's another thing we missed earlier on.
Mm.
Those other funny games that, and I'm using the word games because personally I don't like them. During the bride price payment, fines, what,
yeah.
Pick your bride, you cannot pick your bride, then they give you a fine of 100,000.
Imagine.
Those things are annoying the groom. And so there are a number of times when grooms leave that process and they're like, I'm done with
they're
that
frustrated.
Family. Mm. I'm done. So that other social cohesion that was there before, where you would expect your in-law to support here and there, is getting lost.
Yeah.
And before people know it, they'll have no social net. And for me, that's a big worry for a country like South Sudan with a big dependence.
Mm.
Because you have a very rich in-law, you have frustrated him. He has cleared you off and is like, I'm done.
Mm.
In 1 week, bride price is finished because it's distributed among us over 20 people.
Of course.
Then next week, you need support. Maybe somebody is sick.
They'll still come knocking on
like,
your door.
In-laws like, make an appointment.
And then they say, itagil bahasut shunushun. And they forget what they
but you
made
know,
you go through, yeah?
Irene, it's very interesting.
Mm.
The younger generation doesn't care about gel bahasut.
Right.
They have been raised in an education system, in a society where they have been told, handle issues on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is picking every day. Before society knows it, people will have in-laws they can't talk to.
Yeah.
But they have cleared them.
Which was not the primary goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So for me, that scares me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this same pressure is, you find men have reached to, some men have reached to an extent of, why are they demanding all the dowry at once?
Yeah.
What has their daughter done?
Are they sending off? Are they sending her off for good?
Yes. Not even that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this girl someone who is behavior wise okay?
It's that, like that they're getting rid of her, right?
That they fear that uh-huh. just in case you're sent back, we cannot be able to claim our dowry. So we better get it once now than later on. Mm? Or maybe is this person jumpy? Mm? So, you know, it because of that, it brings in those questions
yeah.
from all. And I would like to say, just like he talked about human resource support and financial support, and I'm looking forward to having the report from Yei, because there was about 5 days engagement of community leaders from the greater Yei,
yeah.
talking about Yei, Moro, Bulanya, and I think Kajokeji, where the state minister of local government and law enforcement was on ground, the commissioners were on ground, and it was supported by IOM, and they wanted to document the traditions around this community. And I think if we are able to get that, and it is documented, we already have a document to see if you want to maybe this was around bright price for the Pojulus, this is how it is done, these are the processes involved, someone gets to know that, and it gives us a lesson of how do we handle the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right. Thank you.
So and that's where one of the way forward is that which was agreed within the meeting was for us to engage the Minister of Local Government and to convene just a discussion with young men and a few women, and to see the need and how do we also scale this further.
Yeah. And I've like you said, I've seen the Equatorial region trying to get into that direction, but
yes.
it will not make sense if they're going to leave out mm-hmm. some other tribe. So mm-hmm. really something needs to be done. Yes, Eunice, what would the way forward be?
As John, the caller, had shared, he said it's going to be impossible to unify the bride price everywhere. We have recognized that also. It's going to be not going to be impossible, but we can work towards it and we can find a solution to it. And I believe that it starts with talking. It's a conversation. When it affects you, you will know the benefit of why this conversation should go on. And the longer they go on, people's attitudes, people's behaviors, people's mindsets will change. And they will be able to work towards a common goal that is going to benefit the bride and the groom and the family in general. So they will not have issues at the end.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, thank you so much. It's just 6 minutes to the top of the hour. And coming up will be the news in Arabic. But in just less than a minute, before you go, what would be your final message? I'll come back to you, Eunice.
My final message would be, let's not use bread price as a scapegoat to try to frustrate our in-laws. Do not see it as your source of wealth. Our daughter studied, she's a doctor, she has a PhD, she's doing this and that, so we have to make sure that we get all the money for her and that. And I also wanted to add something before this thing of education, the bride price, the putting their school fees. We acknowledge it's your parents. Actually, to me, it's your parents' duty to educate.
It's their responsibility.
Yeah, to educate their child. So, does it mean that you just educated your child because someone is going to come back and pay that money that you used on them? It actually doesn't make sense, and it's hurting the guy because the guy also studied. You will not say he did not study.
Yeah. So if it is to pay school fees, it should be both ways.
It should be both ways.
All right, thank you so much, Eunice.
Yes.
Lucidius.
My closing remarks. Tradition is beautiful. Very beautiful. But I've never seen a country that develops because of bright rice. And so if people think they are going to become rich because of bright rice, probably they'll need to start a factory that manufactures girls. Because that's when you'll have bulk purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But you have two daughters, you can't get rich. So let people invest in their daughters. Let them go to school. Let them have their fullest potential. Let them get married with or without that bright price. Your daughter will support you.
Yeah.
And it's long range. That's long range support. It's not one off. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Gordon.
Thank you so much. To me, I send this message to the men who are mostly seated on the table. I know a few communities where you find that the aunties will be around to sit, but mostly the men are the one deciding.
Mm.
It's the change starts from us. Just assume it, you're the one on the other side, and your in-laws are expecting the way you're expecting. So just put yourself in that person's shoe, and that way we'll be able to make that. Let the conversation continue.
Hmm.
It shouldn't end here. Let the conversation continue in our own circles. Let's talk about it. Let's look at not just talking about the issue, but what should we do and practically move forward into doing that. The other aspect of thing, which I think came in some time back, some few years back, was that if you, for example, if you're the cause of a girl dropping out of school, your school fees, the one you have to pay is extremely higher.
Hmm.
But if this person is a graduate, then you literally do not need to pay something.
Yeah.
Because this person is still going to contribute to your family and to her family.
Right.
So I think let's also look at that and see how possible will it be that, and that's where the John's point comes in. And that will encourage
our time
us.
Time is up, I'm afraid.
Yeah. It will encourage us to have girls go to school, enroll and be educated and then contribute to the family.
All right.
Thank
that's
you so much.
Emmanuel Gordon, Osiri, Julius Korsuk and Pichiko Yunis. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.